This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Listen up, golfers. It's time for our tip of the week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
We're back, TD Green, live from Niagara Frontier Golf Club in Youngstown. A great course. We're going to hear more about it here. We'll get the tip of the week here in just a moment. But I want to tell you about Scroy Financial, a supporter of TD Green. They're celebrating 50 years in business this year. Second-generation financial planning firm assisting fourth-generation clients. They've been helping families and folks in Western New York since 1971. So whether you're just getting started or would like to review your current plan and your markets today, financial planning, you might need some help. They offer a complimentary one-hour consultation. And, you know, there's no obligation after that consultation, but I bet you're like what you're going to hear. Call their office in West Seneca, 716-674-6700. Also, check them out on the web, scroyfinancial.com. Scroy is spelled S-G-R-O-I financial.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two is we go double edition here for our majors, and it's PGA Championship weekend. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Corey Griswold producing back in our Amherst studios. We appreciate you joining us here. If you missed our first hour, we'll have it up on our on-demand audio section at WGR550.com just a little bit later this morning. We had an interview with Erica Rapel from the Special Olympics about a great event that's being held at Glen Oak on June 4th. It's a long drive event and a straight drive event. If you want to help support the cause here, you can go to my Twitter timeline at BrianWGR. I've got all the information there how you can register. Also, we spoke with membership director Jake Tino here from Niagara Frontier. If you want to get any information from Jake, NiagaraFrontierGolfClub.com. You can click on the membership tab. His email's there. His phone number's there. You can even contact any of us, and we'll make sure that you get in contact with the great folks here. Speaking of the great folks here, we've got another one. Dan Antonucci, the head PGA pro here from Niagara Frontier. He also is the Western New York PGA president, and we welcome Dan in here now to the show. Dan, good morning. Thanks for having us back.
Good morning, guys. Just thank you so much for coming out today and spending some time with us. We have you set up right here in front of our pro shop and looking at our first tee. What a beautiful morning.
Yeah, this is the stuff I miss. This is fun stuff. Running your member to me is one of the fun things you get to do as a PGA professional. It's an exciting day. Got all the players. Everybody's fired up. The golf course is in great shape. The driving range looked amazing this morning. The mornings are great when you're running these events, Dan. Tell us a little about your event today.
Well, it's our first championship of the year for our membership. It's our member. We have 40 teams, 80 guys competing, which is a good turnout for us. But it really is our first championship of the year. So the players look for this. They look forward to it. We have even have some of our female members playing, which is really cool. So and you always hope for a nice morning like we have right now. And the golf course is in fantastic shape. So we're looking for some low scores.
Gross and net?
No, we just do net. It's just net. Two-person best ball, real easy scorekeeping. We want to make it easy the first tournament of the year.
Now, when you're done with registration, do you have to go out there and sit in the car like a rules official, be ready to make a ruling?
You know, they'll call me on the pro shop phone. They'll text me all different kinds of things. So we make a lot of rules calls right from the pro shop.
Yeah. They
leave me alone.
Yeah. No.
The rule is just play on. Stop calling me.
Play two balls in case of doubt of procedure.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, right. You're supposed to play two golf balls in case there's a doubt as to how to proceed. And then before you sign your scorecard, you check with the rules official to get a ruling on that. So that's the way to handle it if you're ever on a golf course in an event. You don't know what to do as far as a ruling.
All right, so you know, I know we have a different tip for our tip of the week, but
don't ask rules questions without.
Well,
the
book
in front of me. This is
fascinating. So I'm going to ask Dan this. So he says to play two balls. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of a scenario where that would come into play where I would play a second ball.
I guess there'd be a bunch of different, like if you could take a drop, you know, whether your stance or your swinger stance is inhibited by an immovable obstruction, or if you know, I remember a situation where a player hit his ball accidentally on the putting green and we didn't know how to proceed. So either you replace it or you play the, you know, bubble. So that was.
So you could play both balls.
Play both balls into the hole.
Explain the situation when you come back.
Right. Every superintendent just said, don't play it off the green. Right?
Yeah. But. Yeah, there's like I had a guy. He ended up the only way he could swing was left-handed. But when he swung left-handed, his feet were on the cart path. It turned out he did get relief because that was the most reasonable way to make the swing. But he had to play two golf balls. He played one left-handed and one the regular way, and came in and we had a ruling for him, and it worked out to his benefit. So sometimes the rules will help you out.
It's a super easy decision when they play two balls and they score the same score.
True.
So then
yeah.
It makes it
that's
really
what we
easy.
Hope for. Yeah. and I never make rulings without the rule book in front of me, or it's
absolutely.
On my phone now. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Dan Antonucci with us here, the head PGA Pro at Niagara Frontier. All right, we talked a little bit about the golf course with Jake, but I know coming up here, for those that again might be hearing us for the first time, Dan, what are some of the unique features that make this golf course so great in your eyes?
Well, this is my 30th season at Niagara Frontier, so I'm pretty biased about the course. It's just, to me, you know, being in this line of work, I get to play all the golf courses in Western New York. I still think this is one of the top three in Western New York because it's so unique. We have a valley that runs through the middle of the golf course, so it gives you all different kinds of shots, uphill lies, downhill lies, side hill lies, blind shots. You use every club in your bag. When the wind's blowing off Lake Ontario, it changes the whole character of the golf course. And it's a golf course you never get tired of playing because of that reason. It's super scenic, especially out on our back nine, where you really get some great views of the valley. And again, our superintendent, Dave Luckman, and his staff just doing a wonderful job with the condition of the golf course. Best I've seen in 30 years. So, you know, we're always considered that... you know, because of our location, a lot of people don't really know about our golf course, but Jake Tino, our membership director, is getting the word out, and, you know, membership is increasing. It's just a golf course where if you want to have fun and play something different all the time, that's what we look for. We look for golfers. We look for people who just love to golf. Our practice facility, I think, is also one of the best in the area, you know, the members really take advantage of it. We have a huge grass tee. It's about the size of a football field, so you're always hitting off of grass. Wonderful target greens to aim at, and we actually cut a fairway right through the middle of the target green, so you have a fairway to aim at, so you can practice your drives, your fairway wood shots and such.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is a nice range. There's something about a nice range that makes you want to hit more and more balls.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it. I mean, part of what both of you as PGA pros, you'd like to promote people practicing and improving their game. And if you have a facility that's going to get people excited to go over for, Jeff, right? I mean, that's a piece of it, I would think.
Yeah, and it's nice to teach on a good range, too. Yeah, it's I like the targets out there. I like having something to aim at. I like hitting off. Yeah, there's a million reasons to like your range, and it doesn't look like it gets too much action because it looks like it's in great shape.
Well, because it's so big, we can move the hitting areas, you know, various times throughout the year. We just move it a little bit further, a little different area. So by the time we get back to that original spot, it's all grown
just
back.
Just keep rotating.
Yeah,
yep.
Correct.
Yep.
We excellent. Also have two PGA teaching pros on staff, Frank Garcia and Matt Clark. And, you know, we're here to help our golfers promote golf, get their games better, you know, help them with anything in a lot of player development programs we run with our teaching professionals. So we're a golf club. We love golf.
There's not many facilities that can boast three PGA professionals at their facility, that's for sure.
You know, I think the more PGA professionals you have at a facility, you know, the better off you are, because you have experts of the game of golf right there at your place.
Yep. All right, let's get to our West New York PGA Tip of the Week here. And you heard it coming in. Dan and Jeff this week did a Tee to Green Academy podcast, which we'll be posting this week, about bunker play. And it's appropriate. This week, the PGA Championship has sand all over the place. By the way, if you're watching this weekend for the first time, the players can take a practice swing, Jeff, this week. They're not actually, you'll hear on the broadcast, they're not calling it bunkers. They're calling them sand areas.
Or waste area? Or sand
area. They're like waste bunkers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they run up the length of a hole, yeah. Right?
And the PGA of America said that you're able to take a practice swing in there. So if you see someone and they touch the sand on the practice swing, please don't call in. I don't even know how you get that number, by the way. But or send your video. We know they can do it this week.
Meanwhile,
so.
Dustin Johnson saying, "Well, where was that at Whistling Straits?"
Right. That's right.
I was going to say, I bet that's really covered clearly on the rule sheet. Yeah.
So let's talk about bunker play, and then, like I said, we'll early next week, we'll have the entire podcast on it. But Dan, you want to start here? How about some tips? Even for the PGA guys that are playing this week at Kiawah Island, how about playing in bunkers? We'll start with the fairway. How about we'll start there first here. What do you think about a tip for fairway bunker play?
Well, first of all, I had a member walk up to me this morning and ask about what you just talked about, and I didn't even realize they were playing it like that, because we were pretty busy here yesterday. I haven't got to watch much of the PGA Championship, so now we can go back to my member and give him a proper answer. So
he's listening. It's all good.
Yeah. That's right. I had told all my members, turn your radios on. We're out in the golf course.
Good job.
So fairway sand traps, fairway bunkers, I think that's one of the hardest shots in golf. Because we really don't get those very often, and where do you practice them? You know, it's not a thing that a lot of facilities would have a fairway bunker you could practice out of. But when you get into a fairway bunker, it's not as hard as you think. All right. So basically, how I would play it is, say I had a 150-yard shot, which I would normally on a good day be hitting an 8-iron. So I'm going to take one more club. I'm going to take a 7-iron, and when I walk into the bunker, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to kind of wiggle my feet in to give me a little bit of a good base, but I'm not going to go deep. All right, just kind of give me a good base when I get into the sand trap. I'm going to keep the ball right in about the middle of my stance, but I like to lean a little bit into my left side, maybe 60% on my left leg, and I want to make sure I get my hands ahead of the ball. So I'm just going to take a normal, regular swing, but I want to hit that golf ball first. I don't want to take any sand behind the ball, because if you do, it's just going to plop out in front of you, maybe even stay in the trap. But what I think the most important thing with this type of shot is that you swing forward and follow through, but you stay in balance. You got to stay in balance. You got to think about hitting that ball to your target, hitting it onto the green. If you're just thinking about hitting the ball, pretty much it's just going to go anywhere. So take a normal golf swing, play the ball back in your stance a little bit, hands ahead, and hit that golf ball first.
Yeah, if that solid base, you know, when you're putting your feet in, I see a lot of people dig their feet too far down. You know, they think they're in a greenside bunker, and then the bottom of your arc is below the golf ball. The only other adjustment, I agree completely with you, is I like to choke up a smidge. You know, because I am digging down a little bit, I like to choke up a little bit. Anything I can to help prevent my club from hitting the sand first. And like you said, a good aggressive swing with the thought of hitting the ball first and visualizing your target. If you're just trying to get it out, that's like any shot. If you're just trying to chip it on the green, you're not going to hit a good chip. If you're trying to chip it in, you're going to hit it closer to the hole.
All right, let's go up by the green now. Greenside bunkers. Obviously, maybe, I know you said don't dig in too deep in the fairway. Would you dig in a little deeper around the green?
Well, like Jeff said, the more you dig in, you do have to choke up on your club a little bit. But when you're in a greenside sand trap and you just have a basic flat lie, first thing is, and Jeff and I didn't talk about this at his podcast, the golf ball you use is very important. So you really, most players, I don't care what handicap you are, you need to have some kind of performance ball, a ball that's built to have some spin. All right, especially when you're on greenside bunkers, you need to put spin on that ball. So you know, your higher-end performance balls from all the golf companies work. They're making.
We'll recommend Callaway Chrome Soft because they're a sponsor on the show. All right.
All right. Callaway Chrome Soft is an excellent, excellent golf ball. But they also make a Super Soft, which is a ball that gives you some distance but spin too. You want to have a ball that produces spin. So when you get into the sand bunker, you're going to walk in. The club choice is important. I like to use my 56-degree sand wedge. Some people like to use a 60-degree, but you want to have a club that has some loft, some angle to the club face. And also the bounce of the club, the bottom edge of the club is important too. I think with a sand wedge of 56-degree, I like to have a little bit more bounce, like a 10-degree bounce, and maybe Jeff can talk a little bit more about bounce.
Yeah, the bounce angle basically is the angle that the trailing edge of the sand wedge is actually below the leading edge. So the edge that you aim at the golf ball on a sand wedge is the trailing edge is below that. And that angle is measured, in his case, 10 degrees. And what that does is that allows the club to glide through the sand instead of digging in. And so Dan will take his 56-degree wedge and say it's got 10 degrees of bounce. If he opens it 4 degrees, well, now it's a 60-degree wedge with 14 degrees of bounce. A little bit more bounce does make it easy to get that club to glide through the sand and end up on the green with the golf ball. Anytime you get your club digging in the sand, like if you close your blade as a right hand, if you close your blade down, you create a dig sole. You take that bounce out, and that club wants to dig into the sand. That's why when I have the basic core concept for me in bunker play is to keep the blade open, aim left, and swing aggressively and hit behind the golf ball. So you got to keep the blade open throughout the whole bunker shot in order for that club to glide through the sand. If your club's digging, check that your blade's open and you're using the right club.
Is there any instance where you would close the face to dig in? Maybe you've got a lot of green to work with. Would you be able to get that to run? Or is that just a no-no all around?
I would say a buried lie is the opposite. So if your ball's buried.
Fried egg, right.
Or even buried, I turn the toe down almost because you want that club to get under the golf ball. Otherwise, using the bounce, it'll just skip through and hit the center of the golf ball, if that makes sense.
You know, also, we like to play with an open club face to create a little bit more spin, get the ball to pop up onto the green easier. But if you have a longer shot, you know, you don't want to open up your club face as much. So it really is based, how your club face is based on the distance of your shot. So, you know, especially if you start to get a 30, 40, 50-yard bunker shot, which I think are, again, very, yeah, very hard golf shots. But yeah, if you're right around the bunker, you play that, just open up your blade a little bit. I like to play the ball about an inch forward of the center of my stance, and I'm aiming about 2 inches behind the ball. And what we do with our junior kids is we actually, when we're practicing with them, we have them bend down and draw a rectangle around their golf ball, kind of about the size of a dollar bill. So if you could use that in your imagination, you want to enter at the back end of the dollar bill, and you want the whole sand and the golf ball and the whole chunk to fly out together. You don't want to hear the click of the ball on the club face. When that happens, the ball flies over the green. So the most important part, I think, is when you have a bunker shot is your follow-through. And like Jeff said, you always want to keep your club face open. You don't want to rotate your forearms, but you got to get your body moving and rotating forward, and you got to end up on your forward leg, and you got to follow through. If you're a guy who likes to swing and you dig into the ground and you stop your forward swing, the ball is just going to plop in front of you. So to have accuracy, to create spin, you got to make sure that you zip through, yep, your shot, that you use some acceleration, and that you follow through and get on your forward side.
Yeah, I like the word zip. Zip through those bunker shots. You don't hit at the ball, you zip. And the other thing is, good bunker players don't take a lot of sand. They take a little bit of sand, yeah, and it makes that nice sound. Dan, you mentioned something interesting. You know, I get a lot of players, and they want the ball to check when it hits the green, and they, you know, see the tour players hitting these shots, and the ball spins back, and then they're playing some dollar jar ball and wondering why the golf ball won't stop or spin. It's not designed to. So you do, a performance ball does make a difference, and the thing with beginners a lot of times is you'll get these beginners, and they end up playing the junkiest, cruddiest balls, and they're it's going to make it harder for them to succeed, where a beginner, it's more important for them to play a good ball so the ball does spin and go in the air instead of diving out of the air. So those things do matter. And the last point was, you talked about face angle. When the sand's wet or firm, that's maybe when you don't open that blade up as much. Understanding how bounce works, it'll just bounce into the ball, so that blade stays a little bit more square with wet or firm or even longer bunker shots.
Dan mentioned juniors. I'm finding the PGA Junior League, the kids love playing out of the sand.
Oh, definitely.
When they select the ball and scramble, let's play the sand one. And all the parents were like,
No.
I know.
That's because they see all the pictures in the newspaper are always got a guy hitting a bunker shot in the sand.
Well, it's just cool, right? Yeah,
it, it is a cool shot.
Kids like playing in the sand.
And they even like raking it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They even like raking it.
That's right.
You know, Jeff was talking about when your sand is firm or wet, and I found over years of experience that when the sand is wet, people have a tendency to aim a little bit closer to the ball. I find if you aim farther from the ball, maybe 3 inches away from the ball, and really make sure that you accelerate and be a little bit more aggressive, it's a way easier shot to get that ball out, and it's really going to spin for you too.
Okay. Great advice from Dan and Jeff here on our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. Before we let Dan go, Dan, of course, also beyond being the head pro here at Niagara Frontier Golf Club, is the Western New York PGA president. And the Western New York PGA, first of all, we appreciate their support of the show. Mm-hmm. Our job, we try to help promote, grow the game, go around all across Western New York, and we know the Western New York PGA is right there in their mission, too. What have been some of the initiatives this year that you as president have been working on here that maybe you want to share with the public?
Well, first of all, we really appreciate our partnership with you and your show, and we're just so thrilled to be part of it. My presidency, you get to spend 2 years as president in the president's chair, and Jeff was president of our section just a couple years back. And you have these thoughts and ideas of what you would like to accomplish when you're in the president's position. We have a wonderful section staff, Steve Barkowski, our executive director, kind of runs everything for us. But as I got into the president's chair, this thing called COVID hit and threw everything that I wanted to do kind of out the window. So for last year, like a lot of businesses, we were just trying to get our way through the year, you know, because like with a lot of businesses, we didn't know if we'd be able to run our tournaments or our junior PGA junior leagues or our junior tour, which is you know, the best junior tour in Western New York, and a lot of other things. So we just kind of went day by day and by day, and we got through it, and actually turned out to be a pretty good year. So my initiative this year is to grow our foundation, our Western New York PGA Foundation, which supports our PGA Reach Western New York, which entails our veterans programs, which have become just super popular. And that Jeff Midas guy, he's the one that started it, so kudos to Jeff. And it's grown from, I think, like 10 veterans at Grover Cleveland to I think our program that starts next week, we have I think upwards of 70 veterans going to attend it. And
that's awesome.
I have to say I've been able to help a couple times with the veterans programs, and it's so rewarding for us as PGA professionals to be out there with the veterans, because these guys are the real heroes, man. They did everything we can so we can be out playing golf. And getting the relationships with them and just talking golf with them has been a thrill. In fact, my latest assistant I hired in my pro shop, his name is Sean McNett, and he's a veteran from the PGA Hope program, and he has aspirations getting into the PGA apprenticeship program, and he's just been a rock star so far and done a wonderful job for me. So I have high expectations for him to get into the PGA program, become a PGA professional. So other than that, with PGA Reach, we also have our junior tour, which is very successful. We have about 40 junior events throughout the season, all across Western New York, Buffalo, Rochester, and Erie. And also we're working on some women's programs too. So that's really our initiatives for this year that we're going to go hard at.
It's been great. I know Kevin and I, both of our sons participate in Junior League. Mm-hmm. My son's playing the Junior Tour for the first time this year. That's been a blast. So kudos to the work that you do with the youngsters.
Drive, chip, and putt that you guys run to.
That's right. We get that too.
If you're competing on a different Junior Tour, you're missing out. Our Junior Tour is run professionally.
Yes.
And it's run by professionals, and we play at the best facilities, and it's
great.
A great way for the kids to learn to compete.
Yep.
I have to say, though, as I got onto the executive board for the Western New York section and got to sit in the president's chair, it's been the highlight of my golf career. It's just been so much fun being able to travel to national meetings, meeting pros all around the country, and just working with some great Western New York PGA golf professionals over the years. And I just recommend anybody who's a PGA professional, I don't care what section you're in, is try to serve on your board. It's really, really very rewarding.
Congratulations on 30 years here, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
In my line of work, that's pretty unique. Yes.
It's very unique. Yeah.
They're lucky to have you.
That's right. The last comment on that, you do learn so much. much too, serving on those national boards. Yes. I mean, you get to see everything from the national level also, and, right, and all the programs there. And it's a very gratifying experience.
Yes.
Dan, thanks for having us again today. Appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for coming to Niagara Frontier today. And you guys have a great rest of your program.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Nooch.
Thank you.
Dan Antonucci, the head PGA Pro here at Niagara Frontier Golf Club, as well as the Western New York PGA president. Okay, when we come back, we're going to hear from Phil Mickelson some more on, yes, a 50-year-old on top of the PGA Championship, and more on the leaderboard. We'll break down more of our thoughts on what we see here heading into the weekend as we roll on here from Youngstown, from beautiful Niagara Frontier Golf Club. With PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. More Tee to Green coming up right after this.
Soft. This ball is different. And also by Puma Golf Shoes.
Check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Of course, this week, the second major of the year, and it's the PGA Championship from the Ocean Course, Kiawah Island, South Carolina. Phil Mickelson, Louis Oosthuizen are your leaders. They are tied at 5 under par through two rounds. They'll be in the final group today at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Time. In the second last group, it'll be Brooks Koepka and Brandon Grace. Koepka one shot back at -4. Grace is two behind at -3. Other notables, Hideki Matsuyama, the Masters champion, he's two off the lead at -3. Some decent names at -2, including U.S. Open champion Gary Woodland, he's -2. Paul Casey, -2. Canadian Corey Connors, -2. Bryson DeChambeau amongst the other big golfers that are at -1. Victor Hovland, even. Poulter, Fitzpatrick, Padraig Harrington having a good week. He's even. Defending PGA champion Colin Morikawa is 1 over par. Will Zalatoris, Bubba Watson amongst the group that are 1 over. As we look here at the PGA Tour leaderboard, we're going to talk about the rest of the names on this board. But first, we want to hear a minute or so here from Phil Mickelson, his thoughts after his round yesterday as he heads into the weekend in the lead.
Oh, it's really fun, obviously, to make a putt on the last hole, finish a round like that, and then to have that type of support here has been pretty special. But it's been a lot of fun so far.
How would you describe your performance today?
So I've been playing really well. I was a little shaky on 16, 17, and 18 with the putter, very, very tentative, and then I was able to make some adjustments and putt well on my back nine, the front, and made a lot of good putts on that side. So the other thing, too, is my brother is doing a phenomenal job judging the wind, downwind, into the wind, and getting a good picture of how I need to flight it to get 20 yards of help. I mean, when we're playing into this wind, we're getting as much as 22 to 38 yards of hurt, depending on the trajectory and so forth. And so making that type of adjustment is very difficult to do, and he's been doing a phenomenal job. We've been working very well together as a team, and so we've been hitting a lot of clubs pin high.
Let's expound upon that adjustment quickly. Midway through the round, the wind picked up dramatically. How did you have to adjust?
So it picked up, and then it started to quarter like it did yesterday out of the east rather than the north, and so it was going to be a more difficult wind. And what happens is, because you have nine holes basically going one way, nine holes going the other, and we tee off right in the middle, I had the first four holes, wasn't too bad, and then my next nine-hole stretch was going to be right back into this wind. And so when I made a few iffy strokes on 17 and 18 and made two bogeys, I had to be patient because I still had four holes to play into that wind. And if you make a mistake, that wind will really make it a lot bigger, expound on it. So I had to be patient, but I was able to make a few birdies there.
Sir, I have an update for you. You are the leader of the tournament as we stand here right now. Grace just double bogeyed 17.
So if you were to tell me that like Sunday night, I'd really enjoy that. But right now, there's a lot of work to do. I'm not sure it's going to stand today. We'll see. But the fact is I'm heading into the weekend with an opportunity, and I'm playing really well, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Marty.
Great round today.
Thank you.
All right, that's from Marty Smith of ESPN and ESPN Radio there with Phil Mickelson, who is tied for the lead with Louis Oosthuizen going into the weekend. How about this story developing here, Kevin? A 50-year-old. We know, of course, Mickelson's popularity. He's much watch TV every time he's in contention. Well, he might not be. Even when he's not in contention, he's much watch. We know Phil the thrill. But boy, Phil the executor this week. He's been executing perfectly with his game plan that he talked about right there.
Yeah, he has a plan.
it's cool to see that he acknowledged his brother's help on the bag. Tim, who was the coach at Arizona State,
Porter Cup participant.
Porter Cup participant. I've actually talked to
both of them,
Porter
by
Cup.
The way. Yep. Phil has won the Porter Cup.
That's right.
But yeah. I talked to Tim about
Tim
the
played
Porter
in the
Cup.
Porter Cup many years.
He's like, yeah, you know, he left to be Rahm's agent for a while, you know, to help his player transition, and then went to his brother's golf bag when Bones McKay and Phil split, which was like a divorce on the beat, right? I mean, it's just those guys.
It's an amicable divorce.
Amicable, though.
Yes.
But anyway, it's an unbelievable story for Phil Mickelson to be in the lead right now. But we'd be remiss not to talk about the other players near the top. And Louis Oosthuizen, who most in golf feel has the best-looking swing.
It's beautiful.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
the rhythm, the synchronicity.
It's so smooth.
Yeah.
You know, and as legend would have it, he doesn't do this anymore, but he used to travel with his own mattress.
Really?
Because of his back, yes, he had a special match, but it doesn't do that anymore. I can confirm that. So if they say that all this weekend, unless it's changed here in the last 8 months, that was not happening. That's from his agent. Anyhow, Oosthuizen, it'd be interesting. You know, this guy's won an Open Championship. He always seems to be around here, but let's see what he does today. His putting has not been fantastic. He's not known as a great putter, but because his golf swing so good. But Koepka, which is a surprise coming back from the injury, but not surprised with the major, but he struggled with the injury. But mentally, this guy gets up for the majors and approaches them differently. You look at his career. Although it's fascinating, they had a stat the other day. It's like it's 0.1 difference between his PGA Tour scoring average and the majors, but the majors are different.
Yeah, the majors are much more difficult. Your average round is going to be a higher score at a major than it would be in Vegas or anywhere else there might be a tour event for the most part.
Right. But we have a chance now with Hideki Matsuyama to have a guy win the first two majors of the year. The Masters champion is right there, two back at 3 under par. And you know, that's a player that we don't talk enough about because his putting struggles, which he figured out at the Masters, clearly. But, I mean, someone to strike the ball as well as him. Grace has been there before. You might remember him from U.S. Open where Spieth won out west there. I can't think of the
Chambers Bay.
Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
Bezaden Hote, international player. I haven't seen him too much in person. It'd be interesting. Paul Casey. You know, it'd be interesting to see him grab a major. You got Streels, always plays well near the water. Him, a great ball striker. Woodland, another great ocean-type player. We'll see if his body holds up. He kind of faded there at Quail Hollow when he had a chance a couple of weeks ago, but not surprised. And then Corey Connors, right? The Canadian, another great ball striker.
There's four major winners right at the top of this board. Oosthuizen, who's won an Open. Mickelson, we know, has won many majors. Koepka's won four. Two PGAs, and then Matsuyama, you mentioned, the Masters. So there's four guys here at the top that know what it takes to win a major. They obviously can maybe handle the pressure. Everybody's going to feel some pressure, but these guys obviously have done it before.
Oosthuizen won so long. Was it 2010?
Oosthuizen?
2010, the Open. And he ran away with it. He won by seven.
Yeah.
So out of those four names there, Mickelson, Oosthuizen, Koepka, Matsuyama, is the winner coming from those four? Is one of those four winning?
I think so. I think it is.
Would you agree with that, Jeff?
I would agree with that. If I was a betting man, I think I'd put my money on Koepka right now if his body can hold up, just because he seems to be so mentally strong and there's something about winning one of these events that gives you the confidence to do it in another time. You know, if you've never done it, you don't know if you can do it. If you've done it, you have that inner confidence.
I see. I think it's going to be Matsuyama.
Do you? I wouldn't be surprised either. Yeah.
The
only thing I'd heard is because he had so many travels after that Masters win and everything else. He's quarantined for two. He hadn't had a lot of chance to practice, but he's obviously on top of his form as we speak.
I mean, listen, any one of those winners is a great story. But Phil winning would be...
That's by far the best.
It's the best story.
Oh, right? Yeah.
No doubt about it.
At 50 years of age, Jeff.
It'd be one of the best stories since Nicholas won the 86 Masters or Tigers winning at the Masters a couple years ago.
Would you say it would be the greatest story in PGA Championship history for a 50-year-old Nicholson?
Yes, PGA Championship history.
Absolutely.
Yes.
PGA Championship history.
Yes, it would be. Oh, no, hands down, no doubt.
The Nicholas story at the 86 Masters, to me, is the best story in majors history when Jack Nicklaus won in 86.
It's the greatest golf tournament I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that is the moment that is you know, it's the greatest major. Watson winning the Open at 65 would have been, right?
Right.
Or 63, whoever he was at the time. That would have been. But to me, it's Nicklaus in 86. But this would certainly be the best PGA Championship story. And I just imagine how Phil, how excited he would be 4 years or five years ago now at the Mexico Championship. And I only bring this up because Phil, I just happened to be there working. I had Justin Thomas in the playoff, and Phil Mickelson beat him on 17, the par three there.
That's right.
And Phil, to see Thomas was in tears losing, you know, like just because the emotion of it to get in. He eagled on 18 to make the playoff, and he goes against Phil. And Phil winning, and he actually gave me a hug when I went to congratulate him. And he was hugging everybody. Like, because it was just, you know, as a 46-year-old guy at the time, winning on the PGA Tour, it was like, oh, my God, an old guy won. I said to him, I said, hey, thanks for winning one for us old guys. He's like, yeah, man. He gave me a hug. And I'm like I don't know. Hugger, Phil, huh? Phil doesn't know my name, I'm sure. But, you know, just familiar with the face. And Fred Albers, he gave him a big hug, too, my colleague, PGA Tour Radio and the announcers. It was just an awesome moment. So I can't imagine what this will be like for him if he's able to win.
Oldest winner, by the way. We mentioned Nicklaus at age 46 at the 86 Masters. There's two more that are actually older that have won a major.
Sam Snead.
Tom Morris Sr., the 1867 Open Championship. He was a month older than Jack was. And then Julius Boros in the 1968 PGA Championship at age 48. But the
that
Nicklaus
was match play back then,
but
wasn't
that was
it?
Yep.
In 40, you know, the PGA because it didn't change till 70. I think 71 is when it changed from a match play to. So in the current setup, and you know, obviously the Nicklaus at age 46 in 86 is the one that people remember. Hale Irwin in the 90 Open. Remember he's high fiving. He runs around the green. That was a cool moment. But I mean, for Mickelson to do it at 50.
Well, and this event was hosted at the Park Club. I think it was 1934. 34. Yep. Yes. 1934. The PGA Championship was there. So
and back when that was a match play event.
Yes.
Back at the Park Club. Yeah, if you've played the Park Club, you've played a
major championship.
Probably
facility.
Many people listening, you've played Grover Cleveland, the 1912 U.S. Open, and then if you've played Park, the 1934 PGA.
So, and then obviously Oak Hill.
Oak Hill,
the
if
only
you've played Oak Hill.
That's hosted every major championship there is, from the Ryder Cup, the PGA, the U.S.
Amateur. Yeah,
all those. Yeah. Yep.
And all the women and the senior and the regular.
Yeah. Correct.
They've all hosted them all. Yeah. So if you could have played three spots in this area where there's been a major played, for sure. But yeah, if Mickelson wins it, that would be a cool story. Okay, time out here from Niagara Frontier. Our final thoughts on the PGA Championship as we roll on here on this special two-hour edition of Tee to Green with PGA Pro Jeff Midas and Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. We'll get you our PGA Championship picks here when we return after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston is getting set to host the 62nd annual Porter Cup this summer on Wednesday, July 21st through Saturday, July 24th. The tournament has been host to golf greats like Ben Crenshaw, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, and Dustin Johnson. If your USGA handicap is 3 or less, you can participate in the Porter Cup qualifier on Monday, July 19th at Niagara Falls Country Club. For more information and to register, visit PorterCup.com.
Final segment back here on our two-hour edition of Tee to Green, PGA Championship Weekend. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Midas, Corey Griswold back in our Amherst studios. A big thanks here before we wrap up to everybody at Niagara Frontier Golf Club. Dan Antonucci, the longtime head PGA Pro here and the Western New York PGA president, for his hospitality. Jake Tino, the membership director. If you miss either of those interviews, we'll have it up in our on-demand audio section. The first hour is already up. Go to on-demand, WGR550.com, click on Tee to Green, and it's sitting right there. Hour number two will be up usually a few minutes after we're done, thanks to Corey Griswold back in our studios. We've got about 3-4 minutes left here, so let's just finish up our final thoughts here on the PGA. Mickelson, Ustazen, they're in the last group at 240. Koepka as at 230, along with Brandon Grace, and Matsuyama at 220. So those are kind of the last five out. Think here who our pick is. I know are we leaning Koepka as a trio here, that maybe he's the guy to beat, we think, overall, as long as he is healthy to get through these two rounds?
I guess that would be my the way I'd go. I know you said Matsuyama, but you know, I think Koepka just he seems to have a way in the majors for some reason. Doesn't he have more majors victories than regular tour victories?
No, I think it maybe even it? Even now because he won the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Like okay. There's something that you know this guy won this year.
Yeah.
You know, so we shouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, he's fighting injury, and he came back too early, I think, from the Masters,
yes.
For the Masters, and I think that's why.
He's still not 100%, but he's like, I'm fine, it's a major.
But that's why I think he wasn't on a lot of people's radar, because of the performance at the Masters, and he hadn't played since then.
By the way, it's 4-4. Four majors and four regular PGA Tour
he's
wins.
He's won the Waste Management Phoenix Open twice, and I forget the other two. Forgive me. I know he won FedEx St. Jude Classic, maybe? The World Golf Championship, is that correct?
Yes. Waste Management twice, FedEx St. Jude.
And the other one.
And the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. And he's won two PGAs and two U.S. Opens.
Not bad.
That's
right. It's not a bad career.
Yeah. How about DeChambeau at 1-under,
well,
four off the lead?
I said there's a guy to watch today, right? Because what matters to Bryson, right? I mean, he's going to go for it. Today,
right. Well,
in position,
yeah,
right?
This is moving day, right? So you got to shoot a score today. It'll be interesting to me if Phil Early is hitting some fairways and gets in a nice groove, I think he'll have a good day. If we see Phil struggling off the tee early, we might see the end of Phil for the weekend.
Certainly, though, the crowd and the TV viewership is going to be all in on Phil if he can keep it going.
By the way,
see monster ratings if he's
awesome
in the final
tomorrow.
Group on Sunday. Yeah.
How about a Koepka DeChambeau pairing?
Oh, that'd be a good pairing too.
That'd be good.
That'd be good. There wouldn't be much talking.
No, there would not.
Not small chat. Yeah.
No.
I think Matsuyama. I think Matsuyama's. And my pick Leishman missed the cut.
My pick Hovland is at even.
And I hit Schauffele. How are we doing? Yeah.
Two missed cuts and an even. Not great for us, but. Nevertheless, there's four major winners in the top four, but will Phil Mickelson keep it going? That's certainly the story of today. All right, we hope you enjoyed our two-hour edition here at Tee to Green from beautiful Niagara Frontier Golf Club here in Youngstown. We'll be in Lewiston next week. We'll be at Niagara Falls Country Club previewing the Women's Porter Cup, which is a great event, so we'll be there next week. Thanks to Jake Tino, the membership director, Dan Antonucci, the head PGA Pro, and thanks to Corey Griswold back in our Amherst studios as always. For PGA Pro Jeff Metis, Jeff, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Yep.
Enjoy the golf. Kev? Thank you, as always, for your good insight.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks to all the members here, too, who've all said hello.
Yes, all the members have been great here. I'm Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Tee to Green, every Saturday, right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide.
based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.